Shortly after the sun sets, if you're watching the evening sky transition from the brightly lit daytime into the dark of night, and you're observing during this twilight period of time, you're certain to see things moving across the sky. You can see airplanes down low, and airplanes, of course, blink because they are closer to the earth and you can see the blinking lights. But at the same time, you're going to spot other objects moving across the night sky, slowly, gradually, taking several minutes to move across the sky. Those are much, much higher up. Those are satellites, of which there are dozens, hundreds, actually thousands of satellites orbiting the Earth right now. But some of them are quite big and quite actually beautiful to look at. So I'd like to describe in this podcast a chance to looking up into the night sky and observing some of these satellites, and in particular, the biggest one of them all, the International Space Station. Hello, astronomy and space fans. You have landed at Translunar, the podcast from the Folk Sternwarte München. We inform you about current astronomy topics and dive deeper into specific themes. My name is Paul Salazar, and I am an amateur astronomer and member of the Folk Sternwarte, and I'm glad that you are joining us today. So here's what we're going to do. Let me give you a little background, first of all, about how we can see satellites at all on the Earth. I'll give you a little background about the International Space Station, the biggest one of them all, by far. Then what you would actually see in the night sky if you're looking for the ISS. And finally, how to find it, when to look. It's not visible all the time. You have to know when to look. So let's go through those one step at a time. First of all, satellites themselves. What is a satellite defined? It's really a celestial body orbiting the Earth or another planet. Celestial body means it's out in space. Now, our biggest satellite by far, of course, is the moon. We have a moon, one moon only, and many other planets have multiple moons, dozens of moons. But our moon is a satellite, and as it moves around the Earth, it takes 29 days, so it is up in different phases, invisible at night for long periods of time. Because it's so far away, it takes a long time to go around the Earth. But as you put an object out in space, we'll call these artificial satellites made by people on Earth that we launch into space. Well, they're much closer. They orbit much closer, or even what we call the near-Earth orbit, a couple hundred kilometers or miles above the surface of the Earth. They're going to go around the Earth much faster. They're going to take a lot less time, not 29 days to go around, but maybe 90 minutes. So these satellites, when we observe them from the ground, will take several minutes, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes, to move across the sky from horizon to horizon. And although that may seem like a lot of time, if you look at the distance from one horizon on the west to the other in the east, they're moving at a pretty steady clip there. So when you look up at night at these satellites, at their all different orbits, you're going to be able to watch them gracefully arc across the sky. And by and large, those orbits will be sometimes what are called polar orbits. That is to say, the satellite you'll see is going from north to south or south to north. Or you could have also the more typical orbit going, it's around the Earth in the direction of the Earth's rotation. What does that mean? That means it's going to be going from the west to the east. And maybe not precisely from the west, maybe it comes from the northwest or the southwest, but generally speaking, the vast majority of satellites are going to be going from the western part of the sky toward the east, because they all launch from the Earth's surface, and generally once you've launched from Earth, you're launched toward the east, and you just keep going around the Earth. So that's part one. Lots of satellites in orbit. Some are in the polar orbits, but most are in these equatorial orbits going from west to east. Now, there are many, many different satellites in the sky, but the one I like to look at night is called the International Space Station. Launched in 1988, built by 15 different countries together, predominantly the US and Russia. It was first inhabited in the year 2000, and it's been inhabited ever since. So for 24 years now, it's had at least a crew of 3 to 6 people living on board at any given time. In fact, in those years, there's been 200 and almost 280 people from 22 different countries that have been up in the space station, living there for some period of time. But typically, it has a crew of 6 people, and it's big. From one side to the other, it's over 100 meters, and it's quite wide as well. So it's like the size of a football field, whether it's European football or American football. It's a little bit bigger on the width, and it's a little bit longer on the length. And a great deal of what we can see when we see a picture of the International Space Station are its solar panels. It has very large solar panels. It collects a huge amount of energy from the sun, more than it needs to power the whole space station, actually. Those panels reflect a lot of light. And that's why it's, first of all, the biggest thing we have in space, by far, of any of the satellites. And secondly, it has a great deal of surface area that's very capable of reflecting light back down to us. So when it's flying overhead, it's in a what's called a low Earth orbit. That is to say, it's about 250 miles up, 400 kilometers above the surface of the Earth as it goes around, almost in a perfect circle. And it's moving at a pretty high speed, 17,000 miles per hour, roughly 28,000 kilometers per hour. And at that speed, it takes 93 minutes to go around the Earth once. So the astronauts living up in the space station have this continuous view of around the Earth of going from daytime to nighttime and back to daytime and back to nighttime. In fact, they go over 15 times around the Earth every day. And when they're up at that level, they experience something called microgravity. So the astronauts appear to be floating in space. They're actually still influenced by gravity, but because the spaceship is moving, the space station is moving around the Earth at the speed it is, it creates a sense inside the space station of weightlessness, microgravity, we call it. So that, in a nutshell, is what's up in the sky when we look up and see the ISS. It's big, it's wide, it has a lot of surface area, and that surface area reflects rather nicely. So the next thing is, what will you then actually see when you're looking up in the sky? So when we're seeing any satellite, whether that's quite frankly our moon or smaller satellites, these polar orbit ones going north to south, or other types of satellites, maybe communication satellites or spy satellites that go from west to east, they're all being lit by the sun. And if you think about it for a minute, you know, when we're sitting here on the evening side of the Earth after the sun has just set, the sun's no longer shining where we are. But if you're several hundred kilometers up in space, it's still daylight up there. They can see the sun from up there in the space station. And when they look down at the Earth, they can see there's the daytime part of the Earth below them and the nighttime part of the Earth. And they're moving around the Earth after sunset into the nighttime part, into the darkness. So what we observe sitting on Earth looking up in the sky is a little point of light. Or in the case of the ISS, sometimes a fairly bright point of light. In fact, when the ISS is at its brightest, it's brighter than the planet Venus, which is the single brightest thing in our entire sky after the sun and the moon. So when you're looking up and you're looking toward the west, and we're going to have an ISS flyby, what you're going to see off to the west is this little pinpoint of light coming out of the twilight. And it starts coming up and climbing higher and higher. And if you're having a good flyby, it's going to actually fly right overhead. Like I said, it takes about 7 to 8 minutes to go across the entire sky, depending upon the geography of how it's flying over. And when it reaches about the middle point, so let's say it's been approaching from the west for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, now it's high up overhead. It will be at its brightest point. It's going to be as close as possible to the Earth. In other words, when you first spot it downrange, so to speak, it's still many hundreds of kilometers away from us. And as it approaches our point in where we're sitting on the Earth, it's literally getting closer to us, and therefore it gets brighter. So you're going to see this little bright light on the horizon. It's going to start climbing up higher in the sky. It's going to start getting brighter, and if all goes well, it'll fly right overhead, and then you'll see it moving across into the darker part of the sky toward the east, and eventually it's just going to fade out, or potentially even disappear altogether as it moves toward the eastern horizon. So let's recap. There's many satellites going around the Earth in their orbits. The ISS is the biggest one by far. They're all reflecting sunlight, so we can see them shortly after the sunset, but not in the middle of the night, because they're now in the shadow of the Earth. And when you look out, you're going to see this bright point of light, like a planet Venus or a star, but it's going to be moving at this graceful speed, slowly out of the west, high up in the sky, and then overhead and downrange toward the east. So how do you know when to look? Because our International Space Station is not visible 7 nights a week from just anywhere on the Earth. It is obviously going somewhere around the Earth at any given time. Because it's only at that near-Earth orbit, 250 miles, 400 kilometers up, you have to actually be in the path of where it's going to fly over in order to see it. And the way that the motions of the Earth and the space station combine, generally speaking, we're going to have at any given spot where you're standing or sitting or living, you're going to have about a week when you can see it in the evening sky doing a transit across from the west to the east. Then you won't see it at all for a couple of weeks. And then it'll reappear in the morning sky. It'll only be visible shortly before sunrise for another 7, maybe 10 days, and then it won't be visible again. And why is that? Because, as mentioned, it really is flying over a fairly narrow part of the Earth at any given time, and if it doesn't happen to fly within a few hundred miles or kilometers of the spot where you are, it'll be too low on the horizon. You're not going to see it when it flies over. So it is worth taking a few minutes and finding the right times, the right days to see it, and it's going to be highly specific to your geography. So, how do you do this? First of all, there are many apps you can put on your mobile phone if you have a smartphone. I just checked a few minutes ago on my iPhone, and there seems to be a dozen different apps, most of them free. A few of them you can pay for, but I just go with the free one. And also, I usually start out online. There's a fantastic website called Heavens Above. So that would be heavens-above.com if you type that into your browser, or just search for Heavens Above. And there you're going to get predictions for not just the International Space Station, but also for the Chinese space station Tiangong. There's going to be Starlink passes that you're going to be able to see. There are other things in the sky like the Hubble Space Telescope. And it's a quite well put together website where you would type in basically the name of the city where you are or the latitude and longitude where you are. And you click and you're going to get a complete listing of all of the flyovers. So in my case right now, I'm looking at the city of Munich where I live. And I'm looking at the passes coming up for the next several weeks. And right now at this time in April, it's actually not that good. It doesn't get good for another 2 weeks, but then coming up in May, there's going to be a whole bunch of passes happening early in the morning. And what you can do with this app is it tells you precisely where to look in terms of exactly what time, what direction you should be facing, how bright it's going to be when it gets to its brightest point. And it'll tell you which direction you're going to be looking when it fades out of view. And I'm not a guy that likes to get up so early in the morning that I'm going to see an early morning fly by. But for example, here I can see that on the 10th of May at 11:38 in the evening, there's going to be a terrific flyby, very bright one. It's going to be at what's called magnitude -3. It's going to come up in the west-southwest. and move across the sky, very high up in the sky, and travel where I can see it quite well for about 2 minutes, and then it'll fade out of view. And on the next day, the 11th of May, there'll be additional flybys after midnight. And on the 12th of May, there'll be additional flybys until the early morning hours, and so on. So this is a great way to find out when you can see the space station in your local area. And I can tell you right now, it's fun. It really is fun. And these tables are just right. If you have a clear night, you jot down on a piece of paper where you're going to have the start and the highest point and the end. Or if you use an app on your smartphone, it might even give you guidelines as to which direction to look. Remember your smartphone, you can almost use as a compass. It'll tell you which way to look. And I find it very beautiful to see the space station flying over because you know it's close, you know it's big, and you know there are human beings up there looking down, maybe at that very moment, to where you are. If you wave at them, unfortunately, they won't be able to see you, but it's a nice idea to try anyhow because it feels like you're connecting to something high up in space, something which is well out of reach, but feels close. Feels like something you can almost touch. And to me, looking up at satellites, looking up at the ISS, is astronomy. It's a part of astronomy. We're outside in the dark, we're outside at night, we're enjoying the sky, and we're watching things that are happening in that sky. There are loads of other things we can talk about the different constellations and the star clusters, and we'll do more of that in future podcasts. But for today, I simply wanted to have everyone take a moment to think about the fact that these satellites can be so graceful and so beautiful to look up at, and to find a way to take your time and look for the International Space Station. Once again, the website I recommend using is called Heavens Above. You click on the ISS link, you put in your location, you put in your city, and lo and behold, there you're going to find out when all the different passes are. Try it. You'll be surprised. And I can tell you also this, if you can be successful at spotting these and you take a friend out the next night and say, "Let me show you something," they will be amazed at what you can point out deep in the night sky just because you got yourself ready, you thought about it, you prepared, and you went out to enjoy something for yourself and something you can share with somebody else. Thanks for listening. My name is Paul Salazar. For the folks, Sternwarte München, wishing you clear skies and good viewing.